and listeners to this broadcast is Shooting from the Hip, being sponsored by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery. And if you'd like to be on the show today, give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290. And I'm sure there's a lot of things buzzing around in your heads, some of the things that you've been exposed to on the news over the last couple of weeks. And I want to start today's show off by mentioning that as a show that's dedicated to promoting the truth and trying to advance the firearms industry, I want to effectively say from our standpoint, at least my personal standpoint, the Zimmerman case is a done issue. And I say that because the jury has spoken, and the issue as to whether or not the politically motivated charges versus the acting of self-defense has been resolved in the courts. That particular matter, from the standpoint of how we address things on this show, and we mentioned way back, let's wait until the facts play out, till the case is heard in court, and the decision's made, we accept the decision of the jury, and we have to move forward, because there's so many things now that are being cluttered by the unnecessary expenditure of time and effort on unrelated issues, and again, emotionally based responses versus factual information. They're getting muddled together. And just from the standpoint of the pure facts of the case, we said way back a year ago that the facts will be presented in court, a jury will make a decision will be made, and that will be that, and that's happened. Now, that being said, there were some spinoff issues that have been brought up since the decision that are relevant to our discussions. And one of the issues is this concept of stand your ground. Now, again, I think it's getting a lot of inaccurate information being disseminated. I think it's being thrown in with a lot of conversations that aren't really relevant to what it really stands for. And I want to first of all just mention that stand your ground isn't a new concept. It has different interpretations. And as the language is being described in, for example, House Bill 203, when they're talking about some of the provisions of stand your ground and locations where people are no longer required to retreat, those are some of the issues that have to be hashed out in reference to definitions or interpretations of language in particular laws. But as far as stand your ground has been concerned, it's kind of a long-standing element of self-defense in the country, particularly here in the state of Ohio. Now, because of the recent publicity, it's become a topic of discussion. And the good thing about that is we're having the discussion. The bad thing about it is, in my opinion, in my professional opinion as a law enforcement officer, the majority of the information it's being associated with is inaccurate and not applicable.
Let me just add a little bit to that, and that is that this was made about stand your ground in the media, and those who would continue to bring up that topic keep saying this is a stand your ground thing, and we need to get rid of stand your ground, and we need to review stand your ground. People like Attorney General Holder, for example. The case was never about stand your ground, and they did not make a stand your ground argument. They didn't have a stand your ground hearing. They didn't ever even address the question of whether or not there was a duty to retreat, which is what stand your ground is all about. If you have a duty to retreat, that means you can't stay where you are. If somebody attacks you, the first thing that you are legally required to do is to retreat if you can do so safely. And of course, then it becomes very subjective as to who determines what is safe and so forth. In the Zimmerman trial, that was never part of the question, even though the media made it a big issue, even though many of the politicians have made it a big issue. And most of those politicians are ones who have wanted to restrict the right to keep and bear arms regardless of the situation. They'll use any excuse to do it. So they're taking that and they're saying, well, stand your ground is the problem. Stand your ground wasn't even an issue, much less a problem in that case. And I think that's an important point as we talk about, for example, House Bill 203, which doesn't even use the term stand your ground, but that's how it's going to be advertised, because what it does do is change where you have a duty to retreat, expand some of those places. And we can talk about that. But I think that's an important point. Right. It was not part of the Zimmerman case.
Exactly. And later on, we'll talk a little bit about House Bill 203 and some of the provisions. But I want to continue on this line of discussion. I really want to bring it to life because I want to share with you a couple of situations. Some of you probably remember an incident that happened down on the east side of Dayton last year, where an individual was pumping gas late at night, and one individual confronted him, asking him for a ride, asking him for some money. He refused to cooperate. The guy got a little forceful. Next thing you know, a second person shows up on the scene. They launch an assault against the individual, and the individual ends up pulling his lawfully carried firearm, shoots the one guy in the stomach two times. He goes down, and the other guy flees, as cowardice criminals typically do. The guy jumps in his car, drives a couple blocks away, calls the police. The police respond. They conduct an investigation, verify the facts of the as they're presented by the individual. Stand Your Ground was never brought up as an issue there. We were looking at that strictly in the context of the facts that are relevant to the case at hand. And when the officers get there, I will assure you, from being a police officer responding to criminal acts, that's not the first thing we think about when we arrive on thing. Did the individual have a duty to retreat, and did he stand his ground? We're looking at the totality of the circumstances when we make on-the-spot decisions relevant to cases where such incidents occur. In this particular case I was just describing, the one individual was transported to the hospital. He was under police guard. He ended up going to Montgomery County Jail, where he was under police guard recovering from his injuries. The other individual was arrested, taken to Montgomery County Jail. Now, I haven't followed up on the case, but because it hasn't gotten a whole lot of publicity, I got to believe that the individuals either pled guilty or found guilty, and they're probably both serving time in prison at the present time. Nobody made an issue of that. Nobody talked about, and again, I'm irrespective of the race or gender of the individuals involved, we have to remember that we have to look at the totality of the circumstances surrounding the case. The second example I want to give you, and something that we have a real personal interest in right now because it recently happened to the mother of a member of ours, where she was innocently walking along a bike trail in East Dayton, and she was violently assaulted, attacked, and raped. Now, that's a tragic situation, and we've talked to the daughter of that individual, is a very valued member of our facility, and we've had several discussions right after and since the incident occurred several weeks ago, and she's in agreement with our dialogue and the way we need to kind of approach this, because it's going to be healing for her and her family, and it's going to be healing for us, and it's going to shed some understanding. And what I want to do is, again, I want you to remove – yeah, and many of you probably don't know the race of the individual involved. Remove that from the equation totally. Obviously, I said it was a female. Remove any innuendo of the race or gender of the attacker. But it was an attacker who attacked a 90-year-old woman and raped her. Now, let's assume for the sake of discussion here that the 90-year-old woman had the opportunity to go through training and was carrying a firearm on her person in a fanny pack or in a purse, in her pocket, wherever she was going to be carrying it. And this individual launched his assault, and she, instead of getting assaulted, used the gun to either point at him and tell him to get away or she will shoot him, or she actually shoots him and she gets to safety and calls the police.
We need to take a quick break here. We have a red alert in the traffic.
Okay, getting on with my example here. I'm not so sure that would have received as much publicity as the incident as it played out currently would. I would be wrong, and I hope I would be wrong, and I would hope the media sources would understand that would be just as important a story to cover as the incident as it actually played out. But again, I want you to just look at that in the context of what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. There was no discussion of her right to stand her ground, because look at this. A 90-year-old woman, regardless of the background of the attacker, would have very little likelihood of ability to get away from an attacker on the bike path in that situation. As a matter of fact, I would argue, as a professional involved in this in the law enforcement end and also in the training of civilians, that it would be counterproductive and disadvantageous for her to try to turn and run instead of drawing her gun, creating distance and getting a best situation she could use a gun to defend herself, because by turning and running, the guy's going to close the gap in a very short period of time, grab her from the back, choke her, do whatever he's going to do, and it's going to create a bad situation.
In fact, trying to retreat would put her at greater risk instead of less.
Absolutely. And that's what I want people to understand, that every situation where an individual uses a firearm to defend his or her life, you have to look at the facts surrounding the case, and you have to look at everything, including the age and ability of the person being attacked, the age and ability of the person launching the attack, and you got to say reasonably, did they really have a reasonable or likelihood of success in avoiding the attack by retreating? And I'm going to tell you again, by investigating these things backwards after they happen, and hearing about situations, the overwhelming majority are clear-cut cases where it would have done the individual no good to turn and run, because criminals, they stalk their prey. and they pick individuals that they think are weak targets. So they have a little bit of tactics involved in their predatory ways, and therefore they kind of have the upper hand because they launch the assault. And it's when an individual is surprised and they have to quickly make a decision under rapidly evolving, highly stressful, potentially life-threatening circumstances, they're going to resort to their training. And in many cases, these people have who have taken their training seriously, they've chosen to go armed. They're going to create enough distance so they can get their gun out to defend themselves against somebody who's probably much more capable of overwhelming them and putting them in a very bad situation, which they would believe likely puts them in a situation where they believe their life is ultimately in danger.
I think for the purposes of just a clear understanding, it's important that people realize that sexual assault is considered grave bodily harm. You don't have to have any other kind of injury or attack or fear of death. Grave bodily harm includes sexual assault. So in particularly this situation, that's particularly true where you're talking about a woman who was attacked on the bike path. And the fact that she's 90 years old makes it all the more reason that she should completely reasonably believe that she's at great risk, that there's very little she would be able to do to defend herself from that situation. And had she had deadly force, I doubt seriously there'd be too many people who would have even questioned the justification for using deadly force in a situation like that. I
Absolutely.
Mean, it's and it really shouldn't matter that she was 90. The fact that she was attacked.
That's exactly right. And there again, I would say you take a 50-year-old man in the parking lot at Walmart that is approached by an individual wielding a knife who says, give me your wallet, give me your keys. He has no obligation to give his wallet and give his keys. He has an obligation to protect himself if he believes his life is in imminent jeopardy. He may choose to give his wallet and give his keys and back away from the situation, but he also may choose to draw his gun and use his gun if he feels his life is in imminent jeopardy.
And just give him, go ahead and toss him the wallet as a distraction to give him an extra time and distance to be
exactly.
able to do what he needs to do.
There's all kind of tactical issues involved.
Okay, Jeff, we need to take our first commercial break for the hour, and we've got somebody on the phone who would like to get to after that break. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board as well. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Okay, we're back. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro. Let's go right out to the phones and talk to Deborah, who's calling from Dayton. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, we're great. How can we help you today?
Very good. I initially called for one question, but my husband wanted me to ask two if at all possible.
Sure.
First, any updated information on Ohioans having a concealed to carry driving through Illinois without disarming? And then the second question is, are there any competitive insurance policies that someone could probably get for carrying a weapon or having a weapon or
okay.
something of that nature?
Sure, absolutely. Let me take the first one first because the answer is pretty simple. That law went into effect as soon as the Illinois legislature overrode the governor's veto amendment. And so now it is possible for you to just not have to disarm. You can carry based on the fact that you can carry in Ohio, assuming you have a license to carry in Ohio, you can carry your loaded firearm on your hip and just drive through across Illinois on your way out to wherever it is that you're headed, St. Louis or whatever other location that you're going to. So that is an answer to that one. Pretty straightforward. There are several different insurance policies that are available. When I started back in 2004, it was basically the National Rifle Association endorsed insurance policy, and that was pretty much it. And now there are several that are available. The United States Concealed Carry Association has a program. The Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, there's something called Second Defense that also provides insurance. There are several, and we have links to some of those on the bottom of our website at sim-trainer.com. And probably the best thing that you could do would be to check them out there and find out which things. And also a lot of the homeowner insurance policies policies also have an exclusion for intentional acts that allows you to be covered when it's a self-defense situation. Deborah, thanks very much for calling the show. We need to take a break for the news at the bottom of the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. And before we go back out the phones, I want to alert our listeners to a couple of products that just became available on the market. Now, we've learned over the years that before we typically do a little bit of a review of a product, we wait a little bit longer than normal because when an item is showcased, for example, at the SHOT Show or the mid-year NRA convention, that doesn't mean it's going to be readily available. And so if you showcase it too early, people start looking for it. They can't find it. They get frustrated, number one, and number two, they go on to something different. So this one, I just want to make sure some of the listeners may have seen these showing up in your local gun stores, but they're starting to show up at our place on a pretty regular basis because I placed a pretty hefty order in January, and that's the Springfield XDS in 9mm. As some of you may recall, the Springfield XDS in 45 was NRA Golden, what they call
Golden
that?
Bullseye Award.
Golden Bullseye Award winner last year for handgun in 45 caliber. And I've shot that gun several times, and I'm going to tell you, I like 45, but it's a lot to handle. And the 9, I think, in my personal and professional opinion, was the answer to the concealed carry version of that particular gun. I've shot it over a couple hundred rounds now. It's a great gun. It's basically only a tad bit bigger all the way around than the Springfield or the Smith & Wesson Shield. It's 6.3 inches long, 4.4 inches high. The grip width is just less than an inch, which is very comparable to the Shield. The barrel length is only 3.3 inches. The trigger varies on the different models they have out there. They put a range of foot-pounds of pressure between 5.5 and 7.7, but the average is around 6 to 6.5 foot-pounds of pressure on the trigger. But it's a very smooth trigger, and if you shot any of Springfield's XD, XDM, and now XDS lines, you'll see they've mastered the trigger pull, and they're doing a great job on making sure that's consistent.
I think one of the great advantages of this particular gun is for somebody that is already an XD shooter, XD, XDM shooter, and they're looking for something that they can carry that's a little bit easier to carry, something that's a little easier to conceal, that's a little smaller.
Yeah.
For certain situations where maybe the full-size gun is going to be more difficult. And it's exactly the same operating characteristics, the same trigger, the grip safety, everything about it, same grip angle, all of it's exactly the same. So if they're looking for a smaller gun, they're already an XD shooter, perfect way to go.
I want to just also add that it has it comes with mags that fit flush to the frame, but you also have an extension, a pinky extension option for the bottom of the mag, and then they also have finger extension mags that aren't out yet, but they're going to be out soon. The 45 full extension mags made by Springfield are just now hitting the market about a year later. So the 9mm, I would hope they would speed up production and distribution of those, mass distribution, because there are some available, but they're very hard to get. It also has a red fiber optic front sight for a very quick target acquisition, and it's just a great gun. And if you have a chance to get down to the range and try it in our Try It Before You Buy It program, I think now's the time because they're starting to roll and you'll get an opportunity to purchase one of those. It's a fine gun, and I have to tell you, I shot the Shield and I'm very impressed with the Shield. I'm shooting the XDS and I'm equally impressed, and I'm kind of leaning more in favor of the Springfield, but either way, they're both great guns, and if you have a chance to shoot them side by side before you make your final decision, we just, in the last couple weeks, when we do our basic class, we pair those two guns up together now because they're so close, and it gives you an opportunity to shoot them side by side to see which one you ultimately like, because it is the choice of many of our customers.
And but if you already have a concealed carry gun, if you're already a Smith & Wesson M&P shooter, then, I mean, the Shield is going to win hands down, I think, personally, because it's exactly the same, only a little thinner. Right. The same thing is true now for the XDS. Exactly the same. If you're an XD or XDM shooter, then that gun, and you have been shooting the XDM quite a bit.
Exactly.
So that would go along with explaining why you think that's such a great gun.
But more importantly, in the interest of what we're trying to accomplish as Sim Trainer, I carry something totally different. I carry a Sig Sauer P239, but in the interest of being fair to our listeners and to our customers, I make very careful assessments of products because I think a whole lot of them are real good. And in this particular case, we feel they're so good, we want to put them side by side because it's going to be a coin flip for the new shooter to decide which of those two, if he narrows it down to those two, which one he wants. But both of them are going to be they're going to hit the jackpot no matter which way they go.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And
awesome. Then once you pick one, then if you want some other guns in that same line by that same manufacturer, all your training applies. Everything is exactly the same from one. Now, Glock, pay attention. We need a single stack, 17 thin.
They're trying. One last product I want to mention, it should be pretty easy for the people that are interested in shooting sporting clays or trap and skeet shooting. Winchester just came out with what they call their AA tracker round, and that is a shot shell that's loaded with a plastic colored wad that has an actual weighted amount of lead in it that tracks the shot cloud, so it makes it possible for not necessarily the shooter but the observers to help the shooter, maybe an instructor or a colleague, help them determine if they're shooting behind the bird, ahead of the bird, below the bird, above the bird, and they're tremendously accurate. They come in both black and orange. Black, obviously, for a sunshiny day, easy to see in the light background, and orange for maybe an overcast day where it's not so easy to see, but they're tremendous. Again, it's the Winchester AA tracker round. They come in boxes of 25. They cost quite a bit more than your standard trap and skeet loads. However, it's not something you're going to shoot a whole lot of. It's if you're having a problem like I do on that, what I call the right flyer, the flyer that comes from center to right to my extreme right. I've had consistent problems with that, and now that they've come out with this round, my own son is able to tell me exactly what I'm doing wrong because he's a much better trap and skeet shooter than I am, by the way.
Yes.
And I can make that correction right there on the spot if I don't have access to an instructor and I don't have a whole lot of time for practice. But I think it's a great innovation. I saw it showcased in January. It is now readily available. We feel they're so comfortable, even though we don't shoot trap, or so valuable that even though we don't shoot trap and skeet an indoor range, many of our members do that, and we're carrying that product because we want to get it out to them. So if you're interested in that, we have a very substantial supply of the Winchester AA tracker rounds available for purchase.
Great. Thanks very much for that update. And let's go back out to the phones, and we'll talk to Barbara, who's calling from Riverside. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Hi. I wanted to ask about how we can find out about the candidates of belief on the Second Amendment, from Ohio Supreme Court justices down to the local, government.
Okay. Really the best way that I have found to do that, if you don't have direct access to the candidates, in other words, if you didn't go to one of their town hall meetings and get to ask the question yourself, most of them have either filled out a survey from the National Rifle Association, the Institute for Legislative Action, and the Political Victory Fund sends out a survey to the candidates to find out what their views are on several different issues. And so does the Buckeye Firearms Association. So when we're getting to the point where we're getting closer to elections and the candidates, and that includes primary elections, and we're looking to find out, which of these candidates do we want to support based on many, many issues, but Second Amendment is obviously one that a lot of us feel is important, then that's a good place to go get that information as well, is on the Buckeye Farms Association website. We need to take a quick break and head over to the news center with a traffic red alert. Thanks very much. We're back now. Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Jason, who's calling from New Knoxville. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. How can we help you today?
I came across the company that makes an unfinished AR-15 lower, and then I have the capacity to finish it myself, but I've heard two different views on whether that's legal or not, and I was curious on your opinion.
When you say unfinished, what do you mean exactly? Is it a serial number device?
No, there's no serial numbers on it. Basically, it's a paperweight right now. The trigger pocket is needs to be machined out yet.
Again, that's relatively new to me because the lower on an AR or a M4 type rifle is the item that must be serialized and also ultimately, will require a serial number be stamped on it. And then if it is transferred, sold, purchased, that information would have to be recorded and you would have to fill out a 4473 to have that item transferred to you. So I'm not sure what the company's doing here. again, until that issue is resolved one way or another, and it's something that we will try to look into. I don't know if we're going to be able to get any information. Can you give us at least the information, the name of the company, so we can do the research there?
It's actually a friend of mine that came across it, and I don't have that information yet.
Well, if you would send it to our website, we can maybe take a look and see if we can find out anything about it. If he can get us any information about the actual manufacturer, we can find out what their intentions are, because I certainly wouldn't want you to get into a situation where you start doing this, you go to the great extent of doing this, making this lower, you go out to the range, and that just happens to be the day where something gets looked into, and there you're in possession of a firearm without it being properly processed.
Right.
So we'd have to have the information before we can make that.
One story where they say, as long as I do it myself and never sell it, that it's fine.
Okay, is that coming from an official representative of the ATF, and do you have it in writing?
No, I don't.
Okay, if you don't have it from an official representative from the ATF and you have it in writing, I would steer clear of abiding by that directive, because that might be the intention of whoever it is that is distributing this item, but that's not the lawful interpretation, and I just don't want you to get caught in a bad situation.
This is one of those things where you do not want to be the test case.
Exactly.
So, especially under the current climate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll check with the ATF then.
Thank you.
Well, and we'd be happy to do that. If you want to send us more information, to radio@sim-trainer.com, or go out to our website and click on the email link. You can send us an attachment if it comes through regular email. Our website email doesn't have an attachment capability. But if there's some information that you have from your friend, we'd be more than happy to look into that. If he doesn't particularly want to get that kind of attention, or you don't, we talk with them all the time. We have a pretty good relationship with them, and as a federally licensed firearms dealer, obviously we have to deal with them on a fairly regular basis and ask them questions all the time. So we'd be glad to do that for you.
Okay, I'll send an email then.
Thank you for calling. We ran into situation just recently with one of our manufacturers who sent us a device without any forewarning as to the requirement for it to have some certain specifications that we're looking into now, and it can be problematic, and we're not going to let any of our customers be the test case.
Yeah, that's not something that anybody wants to volunteer for. As far as that can make for a really long day. We need to take our last break for the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be on the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board. You're listening to 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro. We're glad that you've been able to join us this afternoon. Let's go out and talk to Stephen, who's calling from Kettering. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. How can we help you today?
Yes, I just wanted to provide an update, and actually thank you guys very much. Previously, I called in a couple weeks ago about a question about a Mosin Nagant rifle.
Yes.
And after I spoke with you guys, you gave some advice suggesting to talk to a number of historical groups and whatnot, and to do a little bit of research along those lines. And after doing that, I ended up finding at the Bill Goodman's Got a Knife Show recently a wonderful Mosin Nagant that met all the specifications of the historians that you recommended and the weapons experts said were qualities I should look for, and I ended up thinking that the weapon I got is probably the best Mosin Nagant I could have asked for. So I'd personally like to thank you guys, and your advice is really helpful when it comes to finding weapons.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much, and you're quite welcome. We're glad to be able to do that, and I thank you very much for calling back and letting us know how that worked out for you.
Steve, I thank you also, and it's just an example of where we're affiliated with a wonderful network of people and organizations that are well-intentioned and really look to service, doing the best for the customers, and that's just an example. We've had many cases like that, and we're just one element in that big group of individuals and organizations that do just that.
Yeah, we just get the microphone.
and oftentimes that's the catalyst. That's where the jump-off point, just helping people, directing them in the right direction and getting them to where they need to be, whether it's the Ohio Gun Collectors Association, going to one of the local gun shows and talking to many of the private and other commercial dealers there and finding exactly what you want, because most of the time it's out there. It's just reaching out and finding out where you're going to get it.
Yes, sir.
Stephen, thank you very much for calling the show.
I want to remind our listeners that next week I will be doing the drawing for the
the NRA LC380 raffle. If our listeners remember back in May, I challenged our membership to and our listeners to renew their NRA membership or join the NRA to help fight some of the many causes that they're kind of fighting around the country, reference to gun rights. And we have, I know, at least over 50 people who have either become new NRA members or renewed. But I'll be tallying the last few memberships that came in between Memorial Day and the 4th of July. And then next week we'll make an announcement on this show as to who the lucky recipient is of the Ruger LC380. So obviously it's too late to get involved in that raffle. But I want to encourage our listeners, if you're not already an NRA member, you need to get out and do that because it's a great organization. We're falling on continually tougher times where many different entities are trying end runs to promote their anti-gun agendas, and the NRA is right up on top of things, and they're doing a great job around the country staying on top of the issues and, more importantly, spending their money, your money, our money, representing individuals who are being wronged and who are having bad things directed at them. So it's a great organization to be affiliated with. A lot of negative things are being said on the media. My life experiences, none of them are true.
If you'd like to do that, if you either are a member and you need to renew, or you're not a member and you'd like to join for the first time, you can do that on our website at sim-trainer.com, sim-trainer.com. On the bottom of each page, there is a Join NRA link, and if you go there to do that, you'll save $10 off the normal $35 annual fee. It'll be only $25. Thanks, everyone, for being part of the show today. I'd like to let you know that after the news at the top of the hour, there'll be a new show, Hidden Wealth Radio, with Chuck Oliver, and stay tuned for that. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.